Please rise for prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, especially at this time of year, we can get so wrapped up in so many things that we think need our attention. Yet we should remember those words you told unto Martha, who thought she had so much to do. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. You then praised Mary for stopping and listening unto your word. Please help us to stop momentarily here this morning to listen unto your word. As you tell us about Jesus' return, he promises to quickly come in the clouds with great glory and power. Help us to prepare rightly for his return, to throw off sin and everything that hinders, and to fix our eyes on Jesus. It is in his name, in Jesus' name, that we do pray. Amen. Our meditation for this day is largely based upon the gospel lesson. Again, we hear these words from Mark chapter 13. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's
Superman.
We may smile as we hear those words here this morning because we each have probably heard them quite a few years ago, whether that was on the radio or television, as they described a fictional mild-mannered reporter who, when things got really bad, would change into Superman. Our scripture reading today is not some fictional story about a man dressed in red and blue, but the fact that he is coming is definitely true, and nothing is strong enough to keep him away. He's not just a Superman, he is God himself. He is Jesus the Christ. And we are told to look to the sky, for he is coming. Yes, Jesus Christ is really coming faster than a speeding bullet. The section of the Bible that we're looking at today describes his coming. Yet before God goes into further details about Jesus' fast approach, he talks about the distress that will be coming first. We will see quite a bit of destruction here within this world during those end times. God tells us that there will be tribulations before his arrival. There will also be signs in the sky, whatever that means. And then he says, at that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. The Apostle John describes Christ's returns with these words, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him." No one will miss his coming this time. It does not matter where you will be, you will see his arrival. For it describes Christ's return, I quote, with great power and glory. What a contrast from his first coming. When he came the first time, he came quietly and humbly at that little stable in Bethlehem. He was despised and rejected by those who should have welcomed him. But this next time, when he physically returns, he will come with glory and majesty. The first time, he veiled his power and heavenly majesty as he had much to accomplish on account of us and our sins. You see, since we were incapable of fulfilling the law, which is following all that God demands of us for perfection, Jesus came to perfectly keep that law for us. And since those sins that we each have done have separated us from God, we needed these sins to be removed. So Jesus took them upon himself as he went unto that cross at Calvary. He set aside the glories of heaven in order that he might take up our sins and be punished in our place upon those wooden timbers of the cross. And he truly did complete that work. He suffered for each and every sin. When he had borne the total and complete punishment for each of your and my sins, he said, "It is finished." There was now no more that stood between us and our Heavenly Father, all because of this atoning sacrifice of Jesus. To show that it had been paid for and accepted as full payment by the Heavenly Father, he raised Jesus Christ upon the third day. That empty tomb shows and declares before all that it has all been done before God the Father's eyes. Before Jesus once more ascended back to that place of glory in heaven, he promised that he was going to come again, only this time he was going to bring his friends with him. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. What exactly will happen at that time? Please listen to what God declares. He promises, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Each and every man and woman, boy and girl, who has faith in Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross for them and his resurrection to new life, has been adopted into God's family. And God is not going to leave even one of his little children behind. St. Paul speaks a bit about that adoption of ours with these words. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. The key to the whole adoption into the family of God is that we have it all done for us through Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose for us. It's not about what we have done or haven't done. It's not about what we want to do or don't want to do. It's totally based upon what Jesus has done for us. John summed it up this way: "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Yes, it's all because of the completed work of Jesus, the Son, that the Heavenly Father now looks upon us differently. Maybe I can illustrate it this way. During the Civil War, a young soldier was walking over the battlefield. He came across a friend who was shot and close to death. He straightened out his shattered limbs, washed the blood from his face, and then asked if he could do something for him. "Yes," replied the dying soldier. "If you have a piece of paper, I can dictate a note to my father, and I think I can sign it. My father is a prominent judge in the North, and if you take him this message, he will help you." The note read, "Dear Father, I'm dying on the battlefield. One of my friends is helping me. If he ever comes to you, be kind to him for Charlie's sake." Then with stiffening fingers, he signed his name. After the war, the young soldier in a ragged uniform looked for the judge. The servants of the judge would not admit him because he looked like a tramp. Finally, the judge came out and read the note. He was convinced the man, yes, looked like a beggar. But as he studied the signature, he saw it was indeed his own son's. That judge hugged the soldier and led him into his home. With tears running down his cheeks, he said, "You can have anything that my money can buy and everything that my influence can secure." Now, what made such a change in the attitude of the judge? It was through the gracious working of his son, Charlie, who signed his own name to the note. Our Heavenly Father knows all of our sinful rags that make us look, well, like beggars. There's nothing that can be hidden from him, the one true God, who searches the minds and the hearts of all. He knows all of our thoughts and our inner desires. Nothing is hidden from his all-piercing eyes. But as he looks at us, he has a changed attitude about us. Why? It's because of the work of his Son, Jesus. He sacrificed his own life for us upon the cross. When we have faith in his suffering and death for us and our sins, our Heavenly Father no longer sees our old sins and our less than perfect works. He sees the righteousness of his Son Christ. The Father now says, "Through my Son's work, I forgive you. You have been adopted now as my own child through the waters of holy baptism. I will be with you forever and even take you into my residence. the place where I abide. Yes, we have so much, and so much to look forward to, all because of that Son, Jesus Christ. And it's this same Jesus who is coming. He and all his angels are going to gather us together and take us to be with him in heaven. It's true. Jesus promised, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Wow, what a promise. All the things around us are going to pass away. We have seen how so many things over time truly don't last. We especially looked at that last week. So many things and people just aren't what and who they used to be. And we're going to see more of that as time goes on. The things of this world will not last forever. Yet God promises that his word will. And he has promised to be with us as we seek to share this wonderful word of his with others. That's one thing that the Lord has asked of us. And it's something that we can have joy in doing. The more and more that we look to who our gracious and loving Heavenly Father is, and the enduring and faithful love of Jesus Christ, and the comforting and encouraging workings and movings of the Holy Spirit, how can we help but be excited about what and who lies ahead of us? Such love and excitement that we have can have a profound influence on other people. There was once an owner of a jewelry store. One day he watched as one of his salesmen showed a beautiful diamond to a customer. The customer listened and then finally said, "It's a wonderful stone, but not exactly what I want." As the man was about to walk out of the store, the owner came up to him and said, "Do you mind if I show you that diamond once more?" The customer said it was okay. And then through just a little bit of enlightened conversation, the customer joyfully agreed to buy that diamond. As the customer was purchasing it, he said, "Why did I buy it willingly from you, though I had no difficulty saying no to your salesman?" The owner said, "That salesman is one of the best men in the business. He knows diamonds, but I love them." Brothers and sisters in Christ, hopefully that's the way it is with each and every one of us. There are a whole lot of religious leaders and contemporary experts who use almost high-pressured sales pitches for their group or religious structure. And they're only too happy to tell you about how you need to have this or do that to be really with it today. Too many are so quick to say certain things and parts of the Bible are old-fashioned or out of date. What we have here is not some kind of popularity contest or some sales pitch. The fact is we are here because we love the Lord. We love Jesus because he first loved us and gave himself up for us so that we could have forgiveness and everlasting life in his name. We have come to listen to his word and to receive the forgiveness he offers as we await his return. Until that great and awesome day, we will go back out rejuvenated into the world, seeking to tell others about the one that we love, the one who really is super above all other men, the one who will return faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, the one named Jesus, the one who is our Savior and Lord. Amen.